Today's daf is Bamatsiya daf Kuf Yud Ches. We are holding on daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We are about halfway through the page on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, or maybe not even quite halfway through the page. We are up to Amar Rav Acha Bar Adam Shmei De'ula. Amar Rav Acha Bar Adam Shmei De'ula. First, we're going to discuss, we're still talking about a bayis v'aliyah shenivchas, and they have to rebuild it. So what happens if the bala bayis and the bala aliyah have a disagreement about what to rebuild it with, what types of materials to use? One wants to use a stronger, heavier material. The other one wants to use a lighter, weaker material. So we're going to discuss who can force who to do what. That's going to, then the Gemara is going to talk about if they don't rebuild, how much of the land does each one get? Let's say they can't afford to rebuild. So does the Bala Aliyah get any chelek in whatever the land is able to produce? Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to talk about a wall that falls and damages, or the cost of removal of the wall, who that falls upon, and whether the materials get to be kept by one party or the other. The Gemara is then going to talk about whether the Balgino, who the wall fell into, gets to keep the fallen wall if he hasn't yet removed it. Let's say he was told, you could keep it, and then the Bala Kosel changes his mind later on, but the Balgina hasn't yet made a kinyan on it. Does he still get to keep it? Then the Gemara is going to talk about whether a boss can pay his workers with shava kesef, or even just with the items that they were working on. He doesn't want to pay with cash. He says, just take whatever it is that you're working with. That will be your payment. Is he entitled to say that to his workers? The Gemara on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to have three different explanations of a machlokas, whether people who are in charge of watching the Svichei Shviyas, that which is growing during the Shemitah year, they're in charge of watching it so that they can have grain for the Karbonos HaTzibur, whether those people should get paid or those people should dafka not get paid. So there's a Machlokes Tanayim about that, and we're going to have three different explanations of that Machlokes Tanayim, and that's going to lead us hopefully all the way to the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, which we'll save for tomorrow, because tomorrow's daf is a very, very short daf. So let's begin from Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Rav Acha Bar Adam Mishmei De'ula. Amar Rav Acha Bar Adam Mishmei De'ula as follows. Tachton Abal D'Shanos B'Gvil Shomen Lo. If the bottom guy wants to use a thicker brick, a wider brick, so we listen to him. Begazis, if he wants to use a more narrow brick that's not going to provide as firm a base of support for the new aliyah, so then we're not going to listen to him, because the Bala Aliyah might say, I want to have a very well-supported aliyah. Bikfisin, if the Bala Bais wants to use a half brick, shomen lo, then we listen to him. But bilavenim ain't shomen lo. With whole bricks, we're not going to listen to him. And again, the idea is that any time he's going to be costing on some level the person on the top, so that's when we're not going to listen to him. So if a person, if what he said was that he wanted to use kfisin, which is if you have a wall, we're going to learn more about this in the beginning of Bava Basra, you have a wall built with levanim bricks, it's three tefachim wide, and the Bala Bais wants to use kfisim is four tefachim wide, so then we listen to him to use the four tefach wide bricks, because it provides a broader base of support. But levanim, if you had a wall that was built with kfisim, and now he wants to switch it to levanim, so we're not going to listen to him, because he's trying to downgrade the firmness of the wall. The sakech ba'arazim shomen lo. If he wants to cover he wants to make the ceiling with arazim, which are very strong. Let's say it used to be built with shikmim, the ceiling. Now he wants to make it with cedar wood, which is a much stronger type of wood. So shomen lo. He wants to provide greater support for the top floor. Wonderful. V'shikmim ain't shomen lo. But if he wants to use the weaker type of wood, then we're not going to listen to him. Lema'it bechalonos shomen lo. The guy on the bottom floor wants to have fewer windows in his house. Great, so we'll listen to him, because the fewer the windows, the stronger the walls are, obviously. There are no empty spots in the walls. But laharbos b'chalonos, if he wants to have more windows, which is going to weaken the wall ultimately, then ein shomen lo, then we're not going to listen to him. Lahagbia ein shomen lo, if he wants to raise the ceilings in his house to make the aliyah higher than it used to be, so we don't listen to him, because the Baal Aliyah could say, I'm not interested, I used to walk up 12 stairs to get to the top floor. Now I'm going to have to walk up 20 stairs to get to the top floor. I'm not interested in having more stairs to walk up. But lema'it shomano, if he wants to have a lower dira on the bottom, so then we do listen to him, because it only makes life more convenient for the Bal Ha'aliyah. Elyon Shabalashanos, and as we could have predicted, the reverse is going to be true if it's the top guy that's trying to change the building material. So if the guy on the top floor, the Bala Aliyah, is the one that's interested in changing, so Begazis Shomenlo, if the wall used to be built out of Gvil, the building that had fallen used to be built out of Gvil, and the Bala Aliyah wants to build it out of Gazis, which is a less thick material, so Shomenlo, because it's going to be Machbid less on the lower guy, meaning the guy that lives on the bottom floor would prefer that if the person lives on the top floor uses the lightest type of building material, because that will have the least impact on his house. So if he wants to be Mishana and use Gazis, wonderful, let him do that. But Gvil ain't Shomenlo. Gvil is going to provide some more weight, it's going to weigh down more heavily on the bottom guy, and therefore it's not going to work. Let's say he had a wall that used to be built out of Venim, and the Bala Aliyah wants to make it Bikfisin, he wants to use a thicker type of brick, ain't Shomenlo. We don't listen to him, but Bilevenim, Shomenlo. If he wants to use Levenim, then we do listen to him. Barazim ain't Shomenlo. If he wants to make with Arazim wood, so we're not going to listen to him. Bishikma Shomenlo. Lerabos Bechalonos, Shomenlo. If he wants more windows in the Aliyah, so we'll listen to him again because it's going to provide less weight to weigh down the walls. Lemait Bechalonos, to make fewer windows, ain't Shomenlo. Then we're not going to listen to him. Lagbia ain't Shomenlo. If he wants to raise the Aliyah higher than it was, we don't listen to him, because obviously a taller wall is a heavier wall, and a heavier wall will weigh down more on the guy on the bottom. Lema'it Shomenlo. But if he wants to have a lower ceiling, then we do listen to him. So all of these things are about just changing what the material was to a new type of material. The Rush over here quotes in the name of the Ravid that the Gemara is talking about someone who's trying to be Mishanami Minogair. Like, for example, the Minog was, they were Misakech, they would use as a ceiling Shkabim wood, and he wants to use Arazim. But if the Minog was, the minhag in this place is that yesh nohagim bazeh, v'yesh nohagim bazeh, that some do one way, some do the other way, then you're allowed to change to whatever you want. And based on that, the Ravid says, we can answer the kasha that many Rishonim raise over here, that the Nemuke Yosef and many other Rishonim raise the question that over here it sounds like if you want to be machbid more than it was, we don't listen to the guy. But in Babasra and Davava Med Aleph, the Gemara says that someone who is machzik lani, he's allowed to put Koros Kvedim as well. That if you had a chazaka that you were allowed to put soft, or not soft, lighter type of wood on your friend's wall, so that's a chazaka that he allows you to place things on his wall and to lean things up against his wall, and you're therefore allowed to place even heavier beams on his wall. It's all totally in the minag. So why is it that over here you're not allowed to put heavier things than there were before? So says the Ravid, because it's all totally in the minag. Over here we're talking about a case where the minig was not to put heavy things on the wall. The Gemara Babas was talking about a place where the minig was not to be makbin about it and to allow for heavier things on the wall. So based on that, the Ravid said, based on that yisod of the Ravid, that this is all assuming that the minig of the place is not to use the kind of building material that this person wants to use. So when you work with that assumption, that answers the stira between our Gemara and the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Babasa, we'll see in about a week from now. Other Rishonim have different Tirutzim. The Rashbam Babasa Davav says, quotes Yesha Tirtzu, that it doesn't mean that if you're machzik to have two branches, you're allowed to put two beams on the wall. It means that if you have 10 branches that are the weight of one beam, and you're machzik, you had a chazaka that you're allowed to put the 10 branches that weigh as much as one beam, so then you're allowed to put one beam, which has the same amount of weight. It's just that you don't have to have the same exact material. So the Rashba suggests that in Maseches Babasra, it's not really any great chiddush that you're not really allowed to put any more weight than you had previously, as our Gemara suggests, that you can't put any more weight than what was there previously. Okay, says the Gemara, ein lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. Let's say neither party, neither the Balabayis nor the Balaliyah, has the money to rebuild and to build a new house on the spot. So what's going to be with the karka? The karka now has to be divided in some equitable way, knowing that they're not going to rebuild a bayis and aliyah. So how much of the karka does the baal bayis get? How much of the karka does the baal aliyah get? Tanya, Rabbi Nassan Omer, tachto notel shnei chalakim ve'elyon shlish. That Rabbi Nassan says, two-thirds, one-third. The guy on the bottom gets two-thirds, the guy on the top gets one-third. V'acherim omrim tachto notel shlosha chalakim ve'elyon notel revia. That the bottom guy gets three chalakim, the top guy gets three-quarters, the top guy gets one-quarter. So it's three-quarters, one-quarter distribution. Amar Rabba, nikot Rabbi Nassan biyodcha. That if you want to know how to paskin, you should paskin like Rabbi Nassan, the two-thirds, one-third breakup. Because he's a dayan, and therefore he knows how to get to the depth of the din. Kasavar kama mafsir aliyah bebayis, tilta, because he works with the following equation. How much does having a second floor ruin the house? By about one-third. It takes away one-third of the value. Hilka chisle tilta. So that's what the guy on the top floor owns. He owns one-third of the value of the house. The pashup shot when we say nekot Rabbi Nassan biyadcha is that we're saying that since he's yorid the umka didina, so that's why we paskin like him. In the Tshuva Sheris Yosef, he explains that a dayan who paskins is better than any other chacham who paskins, because a dayan is always paskining with an actual maisa shahaya, when there's a maisa shabal liyada, when there's an actual case that came to him, as opposed to a chacham who's paskining in the base medrash. Whenever you know that what you're about to say is being relied on the halacha, you're going to be absolutely sure that what you're saying is correct, as opposed to if you're just throwing out a theory, you're throwing out a possibility in the friendly confines of the base medrash, but you don't necessarily know that what you're saying is going to be right on the, going to be relied on the halacha. Maybe one would be a little less careful in getting to the bottom of the case. So that's why we would paskin like Rabbi Nassan in this case. Now, in the Sefer Knesset HaGadolah, he quotes from the Maharash HaLevi. What if there isn't just a top floor and a bottom floor? What if there's a bottom floor, a second floor, and the third floor, and then it falls down and they don't want to rebuild it? How do you divide it up then? Meaning, okay, we know if there's just two floors, so it's two-thirds, one-third. How do you divide it if it's three floors? So he quotes from the Maharash HaLevi that even if there are three floors, the bottom guy gets two-thirds, and the guy on the second floor and the third floor have to divide up the third third. They have to divide up, each of them gets one-sixth. And the Tshuvas Michtam L'David sounds like he points out that it sounds that they divide it evenly. But he raises the suffix. Is the reason the bottom guy gets more because the land really belongs to him, so he always gets two-thirds, even if there are 100 aliyos, but the middle guy doesn't really own any karka at all. All he owns is a shibud, and therefore it makes sense, second floor, third floor, fourth floor, the shibud they all have is absolutely equal. None of them own any karka. Only the guy on the bottom owns karka. Because originally he wanted to say that the bottom guy gets three-thirds, and from the extra third, the middle guy should get two-thirds of that, and then the guy in the third floor should get two-thirds of that. Meaning, the other way to understand it is that the bottom guy gets more, not because he owns the karka, but because you're being machbid on him, meaning the weight of the top floors are weighing down on him. So if that were the case, then each subsequent floor should get less and less from the, because they have less being machbid on them, less weighing down on them. So depending on what your svara is for why the two-third, one-third breakup, it would have an impact on what you would do if there were more than the two floors that we're talking about. Okay, new Mishnah. V'chein beis habad shu banu b'sela, v'gina achas al gabav. Let's say you have a beis habad that's built under a rock, and there's a garden that's planted on top of the beis habad, on top of the olive press. V'nivchas, and then it collapsed. Hare balagina yorid v'zarei lemata atchiasa lebeis habado kipin. So the owner of the gina could go and plant his garden down below until they build a new dome for him to plant above over the beis habad. Hakosa the ilan shnafel rishus rabim. If you have a wall or a tree that falls into rishus rabim v'ziku and it damages, it fell into the rishus rabim, Potter milishalim. You're potter from paying. It's an absolute onus. It's not your fault. As Rashi points out, demai havalei lemevid. What do you want the guy to do? Onus, who is a perfectly strong tree. Hurricane came, blew the tree down. Yes, it damaged, but what do you want from me? It's an absolute onus. He's potter milishalim. However, if the tree looked a little iffy for a while, that wall looked like it wasn't so stable for a while, so nasnos man laputz asi ilan velistor asakosel. They gave the person a little bit of time, and they said, look, you have X amount of time, but you have to take down that wall, you have to take down that tree, because it's going to fall, v'naflo, and then it actually did fall, and it did damage. B'toch hazman potter, if it fell within the time that he had, the leeway that Beis Din gave him to take it down, so he's going to be potter, because it was he was following the rules, he was doing everything right, he was going to take it down, and the time wasn't up yet. But la'achar hazman, if he was negligent about taking it down, and it was already after the time frame that Beis Din had given him, then chayiv, then he's going to be chayiv to pay for it. The Rashi explains that the reason the guy is potter when his tree stump falls into Rosh Hashanah and does damage is because Mayavle Mevid Anasu. The Ran and the Mukhi Yosef say we're talking about a kosel that was built properly and fell ba'ones. Because then you could say Mayavle Mevid. What do you want the guy to do? He had not, but if it was never built korotly, it was never built properly, so you're hard pressed to say like Rashi, Mayavle Mevid Anasu. What should you have done? You should have built it properly in the first place. You should have made sure that you had engineered that came and checked it out and that you were building a proper structure in the first place. So the whole Svara of Rashi only works if it was built properly in the first place, and the ravages of age and of weather conditions over the course of many years had taken its toll, but it was initially built properly. However, the Talmud Rashba, quoted the Shittas HaKadmonim, quotes from Gedolei Amorim that it doesn't matter, even if it wasn't originally built properly, even if originally it was built improperly, still you can be potter if it falls within the time that Beis Din gives you to take it down. Let's say your wall borders on your neighbor's gina, right next to your neighbor's garden, v'nafal, and it falls down. The Bala Gina says, get your stones out of here. The stones of your wall are all over my garden. So you say to the guy, don't worry, you could keep them. You get rid of them and you can keep those stones. I'm giving you free building material. So ain't shomen though. We don't listen to him. He cannot shirk his responsibilities of clearing out those stones just by saying, I'm being generous. I'm giving a gift to the Bala Gina. No, ain't shomen though. If the Bala Gina is not interested in this, certainly the Bala Gina says, okay, so fine. But if the Bala Gina is not interested in those stones, so you can't force them upon the Bala Gina. The Tos Yantav over here points out, it's interesting that the Mishnah talks about you have a wall that fell into someone's Gina. Why not a wall that fell into someone's chatzer? Isn't that the more common case? You have chatzer shaladim right next to chatzer chavero, and you have a wall between the two chatzeros, and your wall fell into his chatzer. So Tos Yantav points out, this is already alluding to what we're going to learn in the beginning of Maseches Bava Basra. Now when it comes to a chatzer, by a chatzer there's hezek ri'iya. People like to do somewhat private things in their chatzer, and therefore people can force each other to build a fence in between, or to build a wall in between their two chatzeros. And when they do so, the very first Mishnah Maseches Bava Basra is going to teach us, they both contribute to the building materials, and the building is the wall is built half on one person's property, half on the other person's property. So if that's the case, it doesn't make sense that if the wall falls down, I'm going to tell him, he's going to tell the my neighbor's going to tell me that I have to clean it all out. I'm going to tell him, you keep it all. What do you mean? It's not my wall. It's both of our walls. So the whole conversation would go very differently if it's a wall that belongs to both of us. It makes more sense if it's a kosel by a gina, where it doesn't belong to both of us. It's only my wall, because you don't have an inyan of hezek ri'iya by a gina. That only b'makom shenagu ligdar we're mechayev him. That's by a gina. If it's not the minhag, then we're not mechayev him to participate in building a wall. So that's what Tos Yantav says. That's why we dafka are talking about a gina over here. Says the Mishnah further, Misha kibel alav, let's say the same story happened, my chatzar fell into your gina, you say, get your stones out of here, I say, you know what, you can keep it, my gift, and you say, oh, really? Thank you. So you accept it. You accept that gift. Amar lo, heilach es yitziyosecha v'aniyat al shali. Then I think to myself, those are some very valuable stones that I just allowed the other fellow to keep. So you know what? Let me give him, I'll reimburse him the expenses of what it took to remove those stones from the garden, but I want those stones back. Ain shamalo. You can't do that. Once you've already given it, you can't, and the person has already accepted, so we don't listen to you. You can't go and take it back. Similarly, hasochres apol lasosimo b'tevin uvakash. You hire a worker to work with tevin and with cash to pick up the tevin and the cash. Va'amrlo tain li schari, and he says, I want you to pay me. Va'amrlo, and you tell him, tol masha asisa b'scharcha. Whatever it is that you picked up, whatever you gathered, that's your payment. You can have that as your payment. Ain shomen lo. The boss is not allowed to say that. He has to, even though Rashi points out, bekol duchdei, we always say, shava kesef is kikesef, that paying the value of something is the same as giving the item itself. Over here by a poel, there's an issur of baltalin scharo, it says. Scharo sounds like cash, money, not enough to just say, you can have whatever it is, whatever the items are that you were working with. Misha Kibalov, however, if the worker says, really, I get to keep all this tevin v'kash, you got a deal, and he's happy to take the tevin and the kash, va'amalo, and then the boss thinks to himself, what did I just do? That tevin and kash is worth a lot more than the minimum wage I was going to pay him. Helech scharcha v'aniyat al-shali. No, let me write you a check instead for your wages, and give me back the tevin and kash. Ain shomalo, it's too late. You can't back out at that point. So again, Rashi had said that the whole reason that you have to pay him in cash, the boss has to pay in cash, is because there's an isra of baltalin scharo. Scharo, the fact that there's an isra, do not delay his wages. Wages sound like we're talking about cash. The Rashba has lots of kashas on this Rashi. First of all, he says, where do you see from the word scharo that it means dafka kesef? Pula sachir could be whatever it is that you're chayiv to pay him for his work. Biyomo titin scharo, whatever, that you just can't let the day go without paying him for his work. But who says that you have to pay him dafka kesef and not shava kesef? Furthermore, he says, if the din is because of baltalin, so let's say when you don't have what to pay, you don't violate baltalin. The Gemara said earlier, about a week ago, that if you don't have the money, then you're not in violation of baltalin. So then, if you don't have the money on hand right now, you don't have to sell your nechasim for that and pay either. Meaning you'll be able, this halach would go away as well. You'd be able to pay with shava kesef as opposed to with kesef itself. So that's why the Rashba says that the reason for this halacha is not based on baltalin. It's misvara that when a guy agrees to work for you, the understanding is that he's going to get paid with money, that he's not going to get paid with anything else other than money. So it's a simple svara that's part of the arrangement of anyone who agrees to work for you. So that's why the Pesachei Tshuva writes in Chosh Mishvatzim Shin Lamed Vav that if you hire a poel through a shliach, so there's no din of baltalin when you hire a poel through a shliach. Will this din apply that you have to pay him with cash? Well, according to Rashi, that the whole din of paying him with cash emerges from baltalin. So when there's no din of baltalin, there's no din to pay him with cash. So you hire a worker through a shliach, and you're not going to have to pay him with cash. But according to the Rashba, that it's all based on what the assumption is when someone comes to work for you. That when someone comes to work for you, they're assuming that they're going to get paid with cash. Well, that's true, even if you hire through a shliach. So that's what the that's what the Pesachei Tshuva points out, that l'chor it's talui on these two deos. The Mordechai writes that the Maram Rutenberg once was near a bechalom. He saw in a dream that dafka tevin u'kash, you know, in the second, the last part of the mission over here, you hire the worker to work with tevin and kash. It's only then that ein shomen lo. But let's say you hire him to work with wheat and barley, with grain, with food, with things that are much more usable than shomen. Low. Then we do listen to him. The boss can certainly pay him with food. However, the Shach in Shin Lamed Vav disagrees with Ram Rutenberg on this and holds that the employee is not responsible, does not obligated to take chitin asarim either. So Pesachei Tshuva says, what is the svar from Ram Rutenberg? No, doesn't it seem like from the Mishnah the whole point is that the guy gets to, if he's working, he gets cash so he can buy whatever he wants with it, and that you can't just substitute items items, whatever those items, what does that care if it's Temen and Kash or if it's Chitim and Sa'orim? Bottom line is, that's not cash. What's the svar of Meram Muttenberg that Chitim and Sa'orim is going to be different than Temen and Kash? So he explains, based on the Rashba writes that the reason the worker goes in wanting cash is because he needs to be able to feed his family that night. If you give him Temen and Kash, it's going to take two transactions to feed his family. He's going to have to exchange that for money. He's going to have to sell that for money, then take that money and find a store that's open and buy food for his family. But the whole point is we need him to be able to feed his family that evening. Well, what better way to feed his family than if you give him food itself? If you give him food itself, it's even better than giving him cash. Whereas Rashi would say that the svara that you pay mashnisimo is that since you have to pay whatever would be subject to baltalin. So anything that's a dvar achila is also not subject to baltalin. So we're not being included in baltalin. So that's maybe the machlokas, how that machlokas rishonim impacts this other nafkamina, whether you could pay with food. Says the Gemara, Nifchasa, what does it mean? Going back to the very first case in the Mishnah, where you had a Beis Chabad that had a Gina on top of it, and then it collapsed. So we have a similar machlokas to what we had yesterday. Rav Amar Beruba, when we say it collapsed, it means the majority of it collapsed. Ushmul Amar Ba'arba, no, even if just four Tvachim of it collapsed. Ravam Baruba Aval Barba Adum Zrei Chatzil Matav Chatzil Lamaila. If it was only partially collapsed, we can tell the Balgina, go plant some of your garden below, some of your garden above, and you'll live with that inconvenience. So Shmuel Amar Ba'arba. Shmuel says, no, even if just four tefachim of it collapsed, that's enough to make him rebuild the whole kippah, because Ein Adam Zareya Chetzi Lamata V'Chetzi Lamala. It's not normal for a person to plant some of his garden down below and some of his garden above. Utsricha. We need this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, both in the case of the garden over the Beis Chabad, as well as in the case of the Bayis Va'aliyah. Why? Diashmin and Dira. If it only were to tell me the case of a Dira, Ba'akam or Shmuel, I would say that's where Shmuel says, Ba'arba Mishim Dula Avidinish Tadari Portacha Portacha. Because to live partially here, partially there, not normal. Avalinian Zriya, but when it comes to planting, Avidinish Tadari Acha Porta, Vacha Porta. People plant a little here, a little there. You know, people like to keep gardens. So they don't have the largest property sometimes around here, so they'll keep on the one side of the house, they'll plant this, and the other side of the house, they'll plant that, you know, wherever they can, wherever they can find space. Same a modi de l'rav. So maybe that Shmuel would be modi t'rav. Yit marbach. And if we only would have been told about our case of the garden, bach kamarav, I would say, yeah, that's where Rav says that only if it's nifchas peruba, the bottom guy can be forced into it. Aval baha. But when it comes to adira, eim a modi de l'shmuel. Maybe even Rav would be modi that four tefachim is enough. So tzricha, that's why I need to be told the machlokas in both contexts. Nuslo's man. So we said, if we give the guy, now moving to the next part of the Mishnah, where the guy had a wall that looked shaky, a tree that looked shaky, and Bazin gave him a time period to cut it down, and then it fell down. The Kamazman Bazin, what is a typical amount of time that Bazin is going to give? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shloshim Yom. The standard is 30 days. Tosus points out, Mikanon Lamedim Zman Bazin Lefra Chovo Ulakama Devarim Davi Lamed Yom. That typically, for all things, Bazin always establishes a time of 30 days. When Bazin gives you a little time to pay a chov or to do any sort of thing, it's always 30 days. And however, Tosa says, Milu kol nizak and lo amar sheiz man bezin lam yom. It's not always true, because the Gemara said earlier, nishbra kado velo silko, naflu gemalo velo amida. Let's say you dropped a kad, a jug, in a Rosh Hasharabim, and it could damage, and you didn't remove it. Rameir mechayev bezekon, ein zman bezin shloshim yom sham. Over there, clearly, you don't get 30 days to leave your camel falling on the floor in Rosh Hasharabim, or your broken shards of pottery all over the Rosh Hasharabim. There, clearly, you have to do it more quickly. But the idea of Shloshim Yom, we assume, is a Stam Halva'a, we assume, is Shloshim Yom, that typically when there's a loan, we assume that it's 30 days, that we assume that a person is taking 30 days to pay it back. So Shloshim Yom is a standard. Misha Yekoslam, The Mishnah went on to say that if your kosel was samach leginas chavero and it fell into his garden, so midiktani sefer, from the fact that the sefer says heilach yitziosecha, that the bal ha kosel says to the bal hagina, after having offered the bal hagina to keep the building materials, he then says, you know what, let me reimburse your expenses in removing it, I want those materials back. The implication is that the whole Mishnah is talking about where the Baal Hagina actually did pay to have it removed, that he did remove the actual items. And that's why the Baal HaKosel cannot say, I want my building materials back, because the Baal Hagina has already made a kinyan on them by removing them. But it sounds like it's only because he removed them. But had he not removed them, then the Baal HaGina cannot keep them. The Baal HaKosel can still demand that he wants them back. But Frakta Gemara Amai, why can the Baal HaKosel demand that he wants them back? Shouldn't we say that his Sada made a Kinyan Chatzar on them? That is, he was Kona with a Kinyan Chatzar even if he didn't remove it? After all, a person's Chatzar could be kona for him, even Shalomi Daito. Tosus points out that we need Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin over here, because even though everyone holds Kinyan Chatzar works, without those who disagree with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin would hold you need to be Omeid Betzad Chatzero in order for your Chatzar to be kona for you at all. It doesn't work Shalomi Daito. So how do we know that this Balgina was Omeid Betzad Chatzero? We don't know that. So the only way we can really ask this as a question is if we assume, like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin, that your Chatzar is going to be kona anyway. So the kasha the Gemara is asking is, why wasn't the Baal HaGina's chatzer kona the building material for him the moment the wall fell into the garden and he said, okay, I'll keep it, no problem. Now that's only if someone was trying to be makne it to you, so then your chatzer could be kona it for you. But when the guy was just trying to get out of having the responsibility of cleaning it up, but he wasn't really interested in being makne it to you, so then your chatzer is not going to be kona shalomidaito. The Mishnah then spoken about you hire someone to work with your teven, and you decide, you know what, instead of paying you cash, just keep the teven. So says the Gemara, Tzricha, we need both cases. We need the case of the building materials, just keep the building materials, and just keep the teven. So, if I would have only been told about the building materials of the wall, I would say that if I'm going to tell him, yeah, just keep the building materials, that I don't have the right to tell him that, that's because I don't owe him any money. So, that shava kesef, I could just tell him, you know, instead of me cleaning it out, you clean it out and keep it. But over here where I owe money is my worker, so I might say, so shava kesef is kekesef, I owe him money and this is how I'm paying him with teven and cash. I would have thought that could work, that you could pay with whatever you want, when you could pay with bran if you want, if you're paying workers, because that's what you owe him. And if I would have said over, if we only would have been told about the case of the employees who are working with teven Nakash, I would say hachak mishekibel alav ein shomelo, that it's only in that case where the worker has already accepted that arrangement, we then don't listen to the boss to want to back out on the arrangement, mishum disayigra gabe, because that was wages and you owed him wages, so that counts. Avalach disayigra gabe, but by the building materials that fall into someone else's gina where you don't owe him any money, ema shomelo, I might think that even after the bala gina has accepted to clean it out, the responsibility of cleaning it out in exchange for the building material, I might think that the Baal HaKosel could still back out on that. So Tzricha, that's why I need to be told both cases. Ein Shomelo. So we said in our Mishnah, Ein Shomelo. Frek the Gemara. Va'atanya, but we have another brisa that says, Shomelo. That a Baal HaBayis who tells his workers, I'm going to pay you with whatever it is you were working with? Yeah, we listen to him. So it's a direct stira between our Mishnah and the brisa. So the Gemara is going to have a couple of possible resolutions. Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha. Kan bishalo, kan bishal chavero. Our Mishnah is talking about where you hire him to work with your stuff, whereas the brisa that says Shomelo is where you hire him to work with someone else's stuff. Amale Rabbi Rav Nachman bishalo my taima. Why is it when you hire him to work with your stuff that ain't Shomelo? You can't just pay him the stuff. Darmalei igra alach, because you could say agra alach, the schar that I owe you, you hired me for kesef, so you have to pay me with kesef, and it's your responsibility to pay me. Bishal chaver nami schar olav. But then that same svar should apply when you hire him to work on someone else's stuff. Titania socher zepol lasos bishalov harei bishal chaver. If you hire a worker to work for your stuff, and then you show him someone else's stuff, you say, yeah, I need you to do some work for me, and you show him someone else's field to work on, no silo schar mishalem. Then you have to pay him the full wages. So, and then you can go and get reimbursed from the balabais, but it's your responsibility as the one who hired this worker to pay him. So that chilik doesn't make sense to be mechalik between whether you hired him to work for your stuff or for someone else's stuff. Either way, you got to pay him. Ella says a second possibility. It's all a matter of whether he was working for you or he was working on hefker. If he was working on hefker, he said, go pick up tevin and kash of hefker. So that the balabais is not zocha in the tevin and kash. The balabais is never kona the tevin and kash. So he doesn't have to pay cash to the workers. Say Yisrael Rav L'Rav Nachman, Metzias Po La'atzmo. You know, when do we say that the balabais is not zocha and that the worker is picking something up that he gets to keep it for himself? Emesai, Bizman Sharmala Balabais, Nacheshi Miyayom, O Adori Miyayom, Avlomra Lasemi Malachayom, Metzias La Balabais. That's only if you're very specific about the malacha that you want him to do when he happens to find something else. But if you tell him, just do malacha with me today, then whatever he finds does belong to the balabais, and therefore you should be responsible to pay him in cash. You should not be able to just give him whatever it is, because you've already been kona it. So says Gemara Ella, a third possibility. Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha. Kan ba'agba, kan ba'habata. The difference is, the our Mishnah that says the balabais has to pay in cash is talking about where the poel was already kona with hagba'a. So as soon as the poel picks up the tevin and cash, the balabais becomes the owner, and the balabais has to pay in cash. But if the he was only bahabata, he was only looking at something that was hefker, so then the balabais is not yet kona it, and therefore the balabais is not on the hook to pay with cash. Amar Rabba, habata behefker tanai. It happens to be whether habata behefker works to be kona hefker is machlokas tanaim. Ditnan, shomrei sviche shvius. The Beis Hamikdash used to have to hire people during a Shemitah year to watch over certain grains to make sure that they had what they needed for the karbanos hatzibur. So if you were watching over the sviche shvius, the aftergrowth of Shemitah, notun schara mitshumas alishcha, they would get paid from Beis Hamikdash funds. Rabbi Yossi Amar rotzim esnadiv hu v'shomer chinam. Rabbi Yossi says, no, they don't have to get paid. A guy can volunteer to watch over the Svi'chei Shvi'as, and that's fine. Amru lo, ato omer kein, ein ban mishal tzibor. So the Chum said to Rabbi Yossi, it's a bad idea. If the guy's volunteering it, you know what's going to happen? He's going to become the owner of that stuff. And if he becomes the owner of that stuff, and then we use it for a carbon tzibor, the carbon tzibor is not coming mishal tzibor, it's coming from his own personal stuff. So what was the whole machlokas over here? My lav ba'akamithli, aren't they arguing about this very issue? Did Tanakama savar abatam efker kan? The Tanakama holds that when you just look at Efker, it's enough to make a kinyan. The Avile Igra in Vilo Lo, and therefore you have to pay him in order for him not to be koned, in order that he should be working for someone else, so that the boss, which is the Beis Hamikdash, should be koned. Rabbi Yossi Savra about the Efker Lo Kani. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're just looking after Efker, you're not kona. The Chiazli Tzibur Amaisi Hashtu Hudukazachi Bay. And when the Tzibur goes and collects it, when the Beis Hamikdash goes and collects it from the field, that's when the Beis Hamikdash is acquiring it. Uma Ata O. What do they mean when they say Ata Omer Hachikamrile? Midvarecha Lidvareinu. According to you, that the guy should watch it for free, and according to us, that Abata Behefker is Kona, Ein Omer Shealechem Bad Mishal Tzibur. It's going to turn out that the Omer and the Shealechem is not coming from communal funds. Amar Rav Rav says, lo, dekuli ama abata b'afkar kani. Everyone really holds abata b'afkar is kone. V'ach chayshin and shomer yimshrim yafi yafa kemifugi. Over here the concern is, of course the shomer is kone it. Question is he makne it to the tzibur? Are we concerned that he's not being makne it properly? Rabban and Tzavri Yavin le'igra, pay him, v'lo, and if you don't pay him, chayshin and shomer yimshrim yafi yafa, we're afraid he's not going to be makne it to the tzibur. Rabbi Yossi Savar lo chayshin and shomer yimshrim yafi yafa, and Rabbi Yossi's not concerned about that. Uma ata omer, what do they mean when they say to him, Ata Omer, Hachi Kamrile. What they were saying to him is, Midvar recha lidvar reinu, techeshinu shalim shum yafi yafa, eino moshay lachem bar mishal tzibur. If we do like you and not pay him, and you assume like us that he's not going to then be makne it, well then the korban omer is not going to be brought from the tzibur. Or a third, final possibility, ika da amri, rav amr dekuli alma abata b'afker, lo kani. Everyone agrees that when you're just looking at after, you're not kone it. V'acha b'cheshinu l'baliz roz kamiflgi. Over here, the question is, are we worried about strong people coming in and trying to take away this grain that we're trying to reserve for the korbanos tzibur? Ditan nakama sefer tzitzkin rabbanan lemesav le'arba zuzi kiech delish mibaliz roz v'livishu minayu. That the reason we're paying the shomer is so that the baliz roz will hear that Beis Din is that the Beis Hamikdash rather is paying the shomer, and then the baliz roz will stay away from this stuff because they don't want to mess with something that's being reserved for the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yosef sefer lo takinu, and Rabbi Yosef says no, we don't have to pay him to keep the baliz roz away. Uma ata omer. What do they mean when they say ata omer? Ach kamrile midvarecha. According to you, that you're going to pay, that you're not going to pay the worker. Lidvareinu. According to us, that the baliz roz are going to come. Ein ban mishal tzibur. We're not going to have anything to bring mishal tzibur because the baliz roz are going to take it all. V'chaim kiasarav and Rabbi Yochanan choshen the baliz roz sika benayhu. That third pshat is correct. That what they're really arguing about, whether you pay the worker, the watchman or not, is whether we're choshesh le baliz roz. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis.